You're good, Commissioner.
All right, thank you, Darrell. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. We're meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is February 12th, approximately 10 minutes of 2. We're meeting for an informal on case number PU 13-825, Bacchanal Express, LLC, 16-inch crude oil pipeline in Dunn and Stark counties. I don't have any opening comments, but I would defer to my colleague, Randy, if you have anything.
I also do not have any opening comments.
And Commissioner Fedorchuk will be along shortly, and she said she'll listen to the tape afterwards. I'll tell you what, at this point, let's just go around the table and take everyone's name for the record, and then we'll turn it over to the company to make their case.
Jillian Rupnow with Frederickson and Byron, representing Bakken Oil Express Pipeline.
John C. Wadsworth, BOE Pipeline, LLC, Director of Engineering and Construction.
Scott Besmer, KLJ Engineering, Project Manager.
Ryan Schmidt, attorney for PSC.
Mitch Armstrong, attorney for the PSC.
Julie Prescott, Commission Staff.
All right, thank you. Jillian, are you taking the lead on this, or is John, or?
Well,
I'll turn it over to the company. How does that sound?
That sounds good. What we were planning on doing is having John speak very briefly to the reason for the change, the need for the larger pipeline for the last 4 miles of the route, and then Scott would talk really briefly about how this might impact construction and, you know, any practical impacts of the change. So, John, if you could just really briefly say why we've requested the change in pipeline diameter.
Okay, John C. Wadsworth with BOE Pipeline, and in mid-December, Robert Stamp, the Director of Engineering for Belfouche Pipeline, called me asking for a pipeline route into the terminal and indicated that he was considering building another pipeline into the BOE Bacchanal Express Terminal in Dickinson. And so I started sending Robert Stamp our alignment sheets in the terminal, and we were talked about a route into the terminal. And in early January, Bob called me and said, hey, we have an idea. Your pipeline runs very, very close to our truck terminal just north of Dickinson, north of the interstate. Maybe we could tie our pipeline into your pipeline. So I asked him what size pipe he had, what his anticipated volumes were, and then I went to the engineers and asked them to look at the hydraulics of the pipeline, of the BOE pipeline, and they indicated that we could accept the 10-inch connection, potential 100,000 barrels a day plus of oil, but we really should size it for a 20-inch pipe. And so at that point, BOE Pipeline went back to Trues and talked to them about that, and they've agreed to do a tie-in at their truck terminal. And we've requested a change in our permit application for the last 4 miles of pipe to be 20-inch instead of 16.
And then, Scott, if you could just give a really brief description.
Yeah, before we go to Scott, I just a couple of questions. If they come up, that's okay. So 16 to 20, I know that it's exponential the more coal you get. So is there any excess capacity by going to 20 inches, or is this just meet your needs of what you're going to have?
That really meets our needs if the BOE pipeline, which we anticipate being at 165,000 barrels a day from the north to the south, is full and Belfouche Pipeline ties in at that point. And they say they could have 100,000 a day up to 120,000 a day. With that 120 and 165, we fill up a 20-inch pipe for that last 4 miles.
So your 16-inch estimate for the whole pipeline is still solid. You make the whole pipeline 20 inches, and the last part is 24.
No, 16 is adequate. We hope there's 165,000 barrels coming from the north.
Well, so I don't have to fill a whole sheet of paper doing the math. The difference between 16 and 20 is almost double. Because you were like at 165, you can get through the 16, and the 125, did you say, through additional through the 20?
It's not real linear, and we have a hydraulics engineer here that could tell us that, but it's a factor of how far you have to run the extra 100,000 barrels a day of oil and how much you have coming down from the north.
Yeah, that's all I have for you, John.
Okay.
Ask them as they come.
This is Scott with KLJ. I just want to explain that, to go from 16-inch to 20-inch as far as construction, We don't anticipate any additional right-of-way. There may be some, you know, workspaces that get, you know, that push our 80-foot that we've already requested. So from the construction standpoint, 20-inch is just some bigger machines, bigger clamps, and more welding. But as far as the land and where we're going to go and how we've already designed the pipeline route, that is not going to change.
Does this affect property owners? Are there, do you have an easement to put in whatever you want to put in, or do you have to go back and redo those easements because this is a different size pipeline than what they had talked about?
Well, we got an easement, for a 30-foot permanent easement for the 16-inch line, and we're still putting this 20-inch line into that 30-foot permanent easement. It doesn't affect them in any way other than...
This, John, I might answer that a little different. I agree with what Scott's saying here, but the easement really does not say it's a 16-inch pipe. It doesn't say it's a 10-inch pipe. It just says we have the right to put an oil pipeline in that easement.
And this not so much a informal question, but it might be more for a work session, but I just kind of ask it now, that the pipeline coming into this, how big is that pipeline going to be? Is that a 4-inch diameter pipeline?
10-inch.
So that will not be a jurisdictional pipeline?
It's maybe 200 feet long.
So
it goes
below the 1-mile parameter.
Right.
Well,
Belfouche Pipeline, I believe, is in open season right now, and they've told me they're going to build a new pipe from Skunk Hill to this Dickinson Truck Terminal, and I think that is jurisdictional, and I do think they're going to be submitting an application for that route within a week or two.
Okay. But that's not the pipeline we're just connecting to the truck terminal, correct?
Yes.
So we're just talking about a short chunk from there where we go by.
200 or 300.
But that's the answer, though. If it's less than a mile, it's below our jurisdiction.
Correct.
Threshold.
Yeah.
Does that 200-foot-long piece exist right now?
No.
So that who would be building that?
Belfouche.
They're coming to us. We're not going out any additional additional easement or right away. We're going so close by their truck terminal right now that it's basically just building off of their property over onto and connecting to us.
Your pipeline's not moving, but they're going to build 200 feet to
correct.
Get to the interconnection.
Correct.
And we've got folks walking in there. I know we've got Dickinson High, Dickinson Trinity students coming in. We're just in the finishing up a work session here, so if you hang tight for a couple minutes, then we'll go from there. So, okay, does the company have Mitch Fallfield?
I had one question. Well, maybe more than one. But
I thought you were one of the Dickinson.
Is the only change to the order you're requesting is to authorize 20-inch pipeline for that roughly 4 miles at the end?
Yes, that's true. We're requesting a change in the permit that's been issued for 20-inch pipe for the last 4 miles of pipe.
No additional above-ground structures?
There's an additional launcher and receiver within the pipeline right-of-way at the Dickinson Truck Terminal site. There's a launch and receiver there that was not in the original application.
We actually moved. We had a 16-inch valve setting that was 500 feet or something to the south of this already. That is just being moved up to this truck terminal area for the tie-in. So it's not like it's an additional one. It's just we moved it a little bit to the north and made that the tie-in point for the new pipeline. And it changed the look of it, but it's still the only above-ground setting. So we're not adding an additional above-ground. It's just moved to the north, and then we've added kind of more pieces to it so we could accommodate the 10-inch tie-in. Right.
I have some questions.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay, Commissioner Christman, do you have any follow-up?
I do not.
Commissioner Fedorchek, I think might have had a couple questions.
Good afternoon. Sorry, I was a little bit late, and I apologize if you're going to have to repeat a few things. But in the application, in your letter of January 21st, you said that the change in the pipeline diameter will not result in increased impacts or require increased mitigation or reclamation procedures. Can you tell me what does it do? the increase? How does it change the way you have to operate that pipe?
It really doesn't change the way we operate the pipe. It does change a little bit the way we construct the pipe. Now we're putting a 20-inch pipe in the ground instead of a 16-inch pipe. So the ditch will be maybe a foot wider than what we had. We're still doing everything within our prescribed right-of-way and the construction right-of-way.
And the pressures are all the same?
Pressures are all the same, yes.
And why was this was triggered by a January 1st or something like that letter from True Oil, correct? Were they not aware of this, your plans prior to that, or why wasn't this discussed before our hearing?
We've been public with our 16-inch, 40-mile pipeline for several months. True Oil was, or Belfouche Pipeline was aware of that. Belfouche contacted me in November, December, saying that they were going to build another pipeline into the Bakken Express crude to rail terminal in Dickinson. They currently have a 6-inch pipeline coming into that terminal. In early December, I met with their right-of-way agent and their operations manager, construction manager, and they told me they were going to build a 10-inch pipeline in addition to the 6-inch pipeline into the crude to rail terminal in Dickinson. We walked through the right-of-way on the BOE property, and at that point, I believed that they were going to build a 10-inch line while BOE Pipeline was going to be building a 16-inch pipeline. In mid or late December, Bob Stamp, the engineering manager for Belfouche, contacted me asking for our right-of-way sheets and alignment sheets to see where our pipeline would run so that maybe they could run their pipeline near our right-of-way to be near our pipeline right-of-way. When he realized our pipeline was within 300 feet of their truck terminal north of Dickinson on Interstate 94, he asked me late December, right the 1st of January, can we just tie our new pipeline into your pipeline? And that's how this process started.
And because coordination of projects like this is kind of a big topic right now, I'm going to ask a few more questions about that. Would it ever make sense for them to have their own 10-inch right next to your 16-inch? I mean, is that a good use of resources?
The BOE pipeline is gathering oil from the Killdeer area north, and a lot of that's coming in by truck. There is two gathering systems that will tie into the BOE pipeline. One will tie in near Killdeer, one will tie in just south of Killdeer into this pipeline. So this pipeline, the BOE pipeline, is gathering oil from Killdeer area and along Highway 23, where the route is. The Belfouche pipeline, from what I understand, gathers oil from different areas all over the state. And at their Skunk Hill station, they've always delivered oil to the Bakken Oil Express crude to rail terminal. Well, they have more oil than will fit in that pipeline, so they just have to expand that pipeline. So they're wanting to expand that pipeline.
Okay.
I think it's a better use of resources because now we have one pipeline going through there instead of two.
Right.
And yes, we're eliminating a pipeline that's would have encumbered more property.
Mm-hmm. And so I also understand how you guys share information. How does True Oil find out about your plans, and how do you let the other companies know what you're doing? Where do you guys coordinate?
Well, Bakken Oil Express, when they started the plans for the pipeline, decided they wanted to be from the Killdeer area back down to Dickinson, and they went out and started talking to producers and shippers about that pipeline, and there was enough commitment that BOE made that decision to build that pipeline. Belfouche Pipeline is a competitor, but we shared the alignment sheets with them because if it would help them, we would be willing to do that. And like Scott said, if they would run their pipeline right next to our right-of-way, it disturbs less land. If they tie into our pipeline, that's better yet. Mm-hmm. Because again, it disturbs less land.
Yeah. And then I think my last question, Chairman, how do you notify the landowners about this kind of a change? And maybe you already covered this, but
you want to answer?
Sure. We do contact them and just let them know basically that the construction is starting, and then we let them know that the pipe is a larger diameter. But they really, I mean, like I said, we got their easements from them with them knowing that we're building a large diameter pipeline. So, I mean, the 20 to 16 to 20 is not that, I mean, it isn't that big compared to what we were already putting in, so.
But you do notify them that you've changed the diameter.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if we don't want to rush this, but we don't want the students to have a tight schedule. We probably have a few more questions, it sounds like.
Yeah, one or two.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's just take a five-minute hold for a minute during this informal. And basically what I want to do is just, you guys have to leave at 2:20, right, to go downstairs a little bit. I'm Commissioner Brian Clough, the chair of the commission, and I'll let my colleagues introduce themselves, and we'll talk a little bit, and then we'll get back to work.
I'm Randy Christman.
I'm Julie Fedorchak.
Basically what you've kind of, I'm going to stand up here. It's easier for me and everybody else, too, I guess. The role of the commission, those cards that Mr. Nischke passed out, you can kind of see there's three public service commissioners. The three of us are elected statewide. Every 2 years, one of us is up for re-election. It's a six-year term, so it's a little bit different than the other branches of government or other elected statewide officials. Most of them are four-year terms. The only people that have longer terms than a public service commission are the Supreme Court at 10 years. So it's set up that way that the commission has good continuity. As you know, no one commissioner, you may lose one commissioner, but you're typically not going to have two of them changing over. And we're broke down into different areas. I'll talk about my area first. I spend most of my time with pipeline safety, power lines, and I do quite a bit of work with other areas of damage prevention on pipelines. So in your area, Dickinson, we're spending a lot of time. In this case we're doing today, basically the company had a request to build a pipeline. We approved the pipeline, and they've got a slight modification that we're talking about today. So I'll let my colleagues talk a little bit about what they do, and then we'll do a couple answer questions, and then we'll get you guys back on the road. So whoever wants to go next, maybe go by age, right?
As I said, Randy Christman, I used to be from Hazen, and I deal primarily with coal reclamation and abandoned mine lands. Maybe some of you heard about the abandoned mine land cave-in that was southeast of Dickinson a couple weeks ago. We'll come and ultimately get that all fixed up and everything, deal with grain elevators and those types of things. I wanted to point out in this case, it's nice that you're here right now, the pipeline we're talking about that Mr. Wadsworth's company has is going to construct will start at Kildare and get some of that traffic off the highway between there and Dickinson, and it goes to a transload facility, loads it on trains out by where the refinery is being built. And we have approved that recently, and what's happened here is they've recognized another opportunity where there's a truck unloading facility nearby a few miles north of Dickinson, and they want to just add that in and need to expand the pipe a little. So they want an adjustment to the approval that we gave them recently. Two more things I wanted to point out. You're from both Dickinson High and Trinity? Who's all from Trinity? Okay, as a Hazen guy, it would be nice if you guys would less frequently dash our dreams. Okay, that's one thing. Secondly, until this last year I was down in the state Senate, I just got to tell you guys, your new Senator Kelly Armstrong, he is just one of the stars of the Senate. So thanks for sharing him with us.
Thank you, Randy.
Like I said earlier, my name's Julie Fedorchak, and I had to look around to actually try to find Kelly. He just fit right into the group. I almost thought he was a student sitting back there. And his older and wiser brother is sitting up at the table, so
right.
Younger and wiser.
He's older.
Younger and wiser. Sorry, Mitch. I'll just back up for a little bit. I like to talk about the broader picture of what the Public Service Commission does. I use our acronym, PSC. So we permit. We provide permits to or licenses to a wide variety of industries, including, like Randy mentioned, grain elevators. Coal mining and reclamation are two of the biggest. And then we also permit and license all of the commercial scales. So when you go to your grocery store or to Cherry Berry or Tutti Frutti or the gas station, all of those devices that you buy merchandise from, we have inspectors who go out and certify that when you get a gallon, when you're paying for a gallon of gas, you're actually receiving a gallon of gas.
Or a gallon of ice cream.
Or a gallon, well, or a pound of apples or whatever it is, a gallon of chewy fruit. So that's one thing. We cite, we provide siting certificates. So this is a pipeline application. When companies want to build a large industrial project like that in North Dakota, they have to get permits from the state to make sure that when they're going across the land, they're doing it in a way that protects the environment and protects the cultural resources and is fair to all the private property holders as well. And so we are one of the agencies that provide that. In certain areas, we provide siting certificates for certain types of pipelines, for new gas plants, which you're seeing a lot about out west, generation facilities, wind farms come through us and go through that process from us. So that's our siting area. And then the C is really, it should be an R for regulate, but I use C for control. So we regulate some of the utilities in the state that are natural monopolies. So you have MDU, XL Energy, those types of the phone companies, types of companies that are natural monopolies where they don't have any competitors in certain areas. We regulate them. They come to us and make sure that what they're charging is fair and what they're spending their money on is prudent. And so they come to us. We approve their rates and make sure that they aren't charging customers too much. Normally, the natural market would do that when you have competition. If you've got two companies providing the same service, they kind of hold each other accountable. But in the utility industry, there isn't that natural competition that exists because it's too expensive for everybody to have duplicative like power plants and utility lines out to your house. So those companies have a natural monopoly that they're allowed to have, and then in return they are subjected to really tough regulators like the three of us who go through their books and make sure with our staff that what they're spending their money on is appropriate and how much they charge you is appropriate. So that kind of gives you a brief overview of the Public Service Commission. I dabble in the area of the, I kind of manage the regulatory area on the utility economic regulation, and I do a lot of the pipeline siting and that sort of that area. So I think that kind of covers it.
Absolutely. This is an informal today, so we sit down here and informally talk about it. When we have our formal commission meetings, we all sit up here, and it's kind of like a mini court, if you will. Everything we have is developed on a record, and so it's different types of meetings. But, you know, this is your time, I guess, to ask any questions you might have. I know you've got a busy schedule, and we'll do our best to answer them. Students have no questions?
Your questions are always more useful than us just trying to think of what you're interested in.
You don't have questions. I have questions for you. What? You're in the thick of all this growth. So, what sorts of things do you see going on that you're concerned about or excited about? How do you feel about what you see happening and how things are changing in your community and state and what it means to your futures?
Oh, that's nice.
You're gonna have to pick one.
All right, Nick. Oh, what do you think?
Good. Increasing a lot, and just like I guess like the crime rates, and like before we were talking about going to Walmart is just sketchy now, and the town has just changed so much, and it's like so fast, and it's just kind of hard to keep up and stuff.
More
so
kids.
You're
in school?
Concerned, sorry, and you like it. You see some positive
businesses.
Yeah.
How about your class sizes? Dickinson, Trinity, and High growing like we're seeing. Some of the other smaller schools are just filling right up.
It's growing.
Our class is growing.
Really?
Yeah.
Can
we get some
members? Oh, the younger.
Higher enrollments are more in the grade schools.
So you're anticipating beating Beulah even more often?
Oh, yeah.
You get more kids?
Do you think you're going to stick around? Would you stick around in North Dakota and find a job? Raise your hand if you think you have a future here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One over there. All right.
Cool. So is this seniors and or juniors, sophomores? Who's the mix here?
Just seniors.
Are you guys pretty good at trivia? What's the tallest building in North Dakota? Everybody agree it's this? It's the Antelope Valley Station coal plant up in Beulah.
Right.
Structure.
install is building.
Structures, not, the TV.
Not
radio
TV
tower.
Towers or radio towers.
So how many Dickinson State people going this way here? Anybody going Dickinson State? All right, Minot State?
You Mary?
Okay. University of North Dakota?
Yes, woo!
North Dakota State? All right, good. Who's going somewhere I didn't name? Where to?
South Dakota State University.
Oh, good. All right.
Is that the
Jackrabbit?
Yes.
Oh, sure. The Gopherville?
James.
Oh, a good college. Great. Well, going once, going twice? Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to stick around, but if you have any questions, you've got our info. And if you have questions, call Julie. She's the smartest of all of us. Thank you all.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We have all three siblings represented. This is my sister.
Oh, nice.
You're kidding.
Well, you can go home and tell your parents that you held up three lawyers and a company executive and two engineers.
So, Mitch, you the forgotten middle child?
I am.
All right.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for the company for entertaining our slight delay. So, okay, we go back to where we were at before. Where were we at before?
These guys had questions.
All right, there we go. Thank you.
We had just, Brian and I talked to Jillian kind of on the break there and just asked if they'd submit a proposed amended order once the notice of opportunity for hearing is passed, and I think that basically answers any further follow-up we had.
Okay. Julie, I felt like we were just kind of cutting you short when we were getting to the kids.
No, I think I covered it.
Okay. So, Randy?
What is the timing of the proposed notice?
The cutoff period. It has to be after February 20th. That's your question.
Are you in construction on this right now already, or...
Yes, we are. We've started on the north end up near Killdeer, and the 16-inch pipe up there is being constructed currently.
So as our chairman always says, not to prejudge, but if those comments come in, if it gets into January and it gets to the first meeting of March, not January, is like the 12th. I don't know how long it'll take to do all this stuff, but how do we have some time that we're not holding up construction, though?
Yes, you do.
We have a February.
Well, let me see the contract. Contractor.
I anticipate them being to the 20-inch probably end of March. So I actually
you have to know, I presume, ahead of time. You can't just
wish
it was 20 instead of 16. You got
to
have
we have to make plans for it that way anyway. I mean, to order pipe and everything else, and that's what we have to do. So.
Well, we have a commission meeting February 26th, and the 20th is the closing date. So is there any, if it works out to a vote, does the 26th of February seem reasonable?
Yes.
And if it doesn't, then we'll deal with those issues when they come up.
Yes.
It's Julie's portfolio, so that'll be up to her on that. I just was letting you know the next meeting is the 26th.
The plan is to use the same contractor that we're using right now and just hopefully get it approved and roll right straight through, you know, not a delay in there. And I mean, not to put any pressure or anything on, but that's our intention.
Well, I appreciate you coming forth and doing this because, to my opinion, it's better if we can jointly site these things to meet needs and having pipelines all over the place.
Right.
It just seems to make sense. Okay, before I forget, Jillian, will you offer all this up as your
meeting? Yes, I would like to offer today's discussion into the evidence in this record in this case.
All right, thank you, and we'll certainly receive it. Julie, I almost forgot. As a staff guru, do you have any questions that we haven't asked?
I do not have any additional questions.
Do you have a recommendation?
Am I supposed to have a recommendation?
Sometimes staff has recommendations, sometimes they don't.
Oh, can I withhold judgment until we see...
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's one of the questions that if you have, as we go through this, sometimes staff submits their recommendations. Sometimes they wait till afterwards. It's whatever you feel comfortable with.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Randy, anything else?
Nothing else.
Julie, Commissioner Forge, anything else? All right. Going once for the crowd. We'll go ahead and close the informal on case number PU 13-825. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And we'll meet